to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Disrespect disrupting your relationships will help you get the respect you need. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. We are helping you get the respect you need. Do you feel disrespected by someone in your life? Maybe somebody you care about ignores you or disregards your needs, makes you feel diminished in some way. Perhaps, you know, we can feel disrespected by our spouse or our kids or a family member or a friend or a boss or coworker. Really, whoever it is and whatever's happening, let us help you gracefully command the respect you deserve as a son or daughter of God.
Oh, and isn't that the word for it?
The number, 877-573-7825. Sorry about that.
Not at all. I was about to say that. Get in on this conversation. I think that's important to say right there.
See what I did there?
But truly, see, we're just illustrating it.
Yeah.
I think that's the word that's so focused here, is to do this gracefully. And we don't mean gracefully like, you know, a ballerina. We mean full of grace, full of God's grace, God's mercy, God's power in the situation you're dealing with. Because so often when we feel disrespected, our emotions just overwhelm us. You know, we get furious. We cry and turn it in on ourselves and feel that somehow we deserve that disrespect. We can blow up at the people around us because we don't know what else to do to try to get people to respect us. We eat our feelings. We do a million different things because we're reacting to that sense that we are being disrespected by someone, and it hurts and it diminishes us, because it's not that we are overly sensitive. It's not that we are thinking that we're special in some way that we don't deserve to feel special. When we feel a sense of disrespect, it's actually the Holy Spirit coming in and saying, you're a child of God. You're created in His image and likeness. And when you are disrespected, it's demeaning who you are in Christ. So it's not about you being persnickety. It's about the Holy Spirit saying, something is unjust here. Something is imbalanced here. Let's fix it together.
877-573-7825. Do you feel disrespected by somebody in your life, whether that's your spouse or your kids, a family member or a friend, boss, coworker? Is somebody that you care about ignoring you, disregarding your needs, kind of being rude, making you feel diminished in some way? Whatever it is, let us help you gracefully command the respect you deserve, as Lisa was saying, as a son or daughter of God. And one of the reasons we're kind of putting it in those terms, you know, there's a wonderful story, and regular listeners have probably heard me share this before, but St. Ephrem, there's a story about St. Ephrem who he lived in the mid-300s. And at the time, to deface the image of the emperor was punishable by death. You know, and he held up a coin that had the emperor's face on it. And he reminded his congregation that, you know, to deface that image was, you know, was a capital crime. And he said, but each one of you is the image and likeness of God. How much more serious an offense is it for us to deface each other with disrespect or unkindness or dishonor? And that's really what we're talking about today. You know, as Lisa, you were pointing out, commanding respect isn't about us saying that we're such hot stuff that we deserve, you know, whatever.
The disrespect of another person. And so often when someone disrespects us, we internalize that and think that maybe we are not worth respect and the honor of others.
But commanding respect isn't about pride. It's
right.
Not about us saying, you know, what you know, we're so amazing. It's about saying that we have a responsibility to God to treat others well and to insist that others treat us well, because when others treat us poorly, they're degrading themselves, and they're also defacing the image of God in their treatment. And so, you know, how do we gracefully command respect? How do we gracefully, without being prideful, without being rude ourselves, without being, you know, pouring gas in the fire, how do we deal with disrespectful incidents, disrespectful people, in a way that allows us to be our best and brings out the best in them? That's what we're talking about today on More to Life. If that sounds like something you'd like to do better with, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Whether it's your kids that are being disrespectful to you, your spouse, a family member or a friend, a boss or coworker, let us help you gracefully command the respect that you deserve as a son or daughter of God. Again, the number 877-573-7825.
And of course, the flip side of that is perhaps you have somebody coming at you telling you that you're being disrespectful to them. That you better straighten up and fly right, because you're just being disrespectful by something that you are perceived for having done, an opinion you have, a behavior you have, something that happened, or just the fact that, you know, you don't live up to their standard in some way. And you're thinking, how in the world do I handle this accusation? And how do I heal the relationship? Or do I? We're here for that as well. No matter what side you're on, living in a state of disrespect with another person is not what God wants for us. So give us a call today at 877-573-7825, and let's start taking those steps toward living the way God wants us to be living.
Once again, the show is titled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Let's find out what it means to you today on More to Life, if disrespect is disrupting your relationships. And every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body.
And today it reminds us that the only appropriate response we can make to another person is to love them. Respect is the foundation of love. True respect goes far beyond simply trying not to offend another person. Ultimately, respect is the quality that allows us to see another person as a person instead of an object or an inconvenience. Respect demands that we work hard to see the truth, goodness, and beauty in all the things another person finds true, good, and beautiful, especially if we don't naturally see it the same way.
You know, the fact is, we can't love another person. That is, we can't work for their ultimate good if we don't know or don't care what they think is good in the first place. You know, respect challenges us to develop an interest in things that we might not otherwise be interested in, or to accept limits that we don't personally feel we need but might be necessary for another person to feel safe or cared for. Respect challenges us to value other perspectives besides our own so that we can learn from each other and grow together and become the people God created us to be. We can't be who God created us to be just by listening to ourselves and just by tuning in to our own opinions. We need to be open to others and live in that community that enables us to learn from each other and grow together. Respect makes that possible by enabling us to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things the people around us find true, good, and beautiful. So, if you feel disrespected by someone in your life, if someone you care about is maybe ignoring you, disregarding your needs, making you feel diminished in some way, doesn't matter who it is, whether it's your spouse, your kids, a family member or a friend, boss, coworker, let's talk about how to deal with disrespect gracefully and command the respect you truly do deserve as a son or daughter of God.
And command it in a way that is full of God's grace in that situation instead of, I will command. How do you work that all out? And I have to say, this is such a call from God to start to do this again, because that will make us stand out as Christians. If we want to be a light to the world, living in this way is so important in a time in our history where people are disrespecting each other all over the place, over the internet, face to face. We're living in a time where Satan is just allowing that disrespect to grow like a wildfire and take our relationships down. Standing in a place of respect with others and respect for yourself is very countercultural and therefore a very large witness to God. But if you're not sure how to do that, how to shine God's light into that situation where you're feeling disrespected by someone or they're feeling disrespected by you, we can help you figure that out today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we bring to you all the situations where we feel disrespected by others, all the people in our lives that we feel are disrespectful to us. And we ask you to teach us how to respond to disrespect respectfully. Help us to know how to gracefully command the respect that is our birthright as your sons and daughters. Help us to know how to challenge the people around us who are treating us disrespectfully in ways that bring out the best in them and allow us to be our best so that we don't return unkindness for unkindness or rudeness for rudeness or insult for insult, but that we find ways to diffuse the tension, assert our dignity, remind the other person of their dignity in you, and create communion out of the conflict. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about respect. Give us a call and let's help you find ways to deal with those disrespectful people in your life effectively. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now to Carol, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Carol. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, I want to start by saying that I had a big advantage. I came from a household where our parents respected us, and so consequently we respected them. And so I expect everyone to respect me. And I think by having that stance that I get back from them what I expect most of the time. But I also think that the few times that I have been disrespected, I see that as their problem, not mine, and I don't take it personally, so I don't retaliate, I don't get down, I don't try to convert them. And for the most part, that's worked great for me. And I think when we respect ourselves, we also don't put up with someone else disrespecting us. So I think I was lucky enough to learn that at a very young age. And I think that otherwise I would have had to learn at the age where I am right now.
Oh, well, sure. Now, and Carol, I think those are really good insights, and I'm glad that you had that experience and that you've been able to use those lessons in your own relationships. You know, I think your point about disrespect saying more about the other person than it does about us is a really important thing to take home, because we have a tendency to internalize disrespectful comments, disrespectful attitudes from others. We feel that if we're being criticized, you know, or demeaned in some way, we must have done something to deserve it. One of the points I like to make to my clients is that even if we've committed some offense or done something wrong, we still have a right to be called on that respectfully. You know, even if I mess up, even if I hurt, you know, Lisa, for example, or my kids, for example, in some way, I still have a right to be called on that in a way that respects my dignity as a person, where, you know, Lisa can come to me and say, hey, Greg, you know, I know you probably didn't mean this or weren't aware of it, but that really hurt my feelings, or you really weren't being your best today. I have, you know, as opposed to, you're such a jerk, knock it off. You know, even if I've done something wrong, I still have a right to be confronted respectfully. And that's something that we need to remember, that when somebody is being aggressive or hostile or disrespectful toward us, even if they have a legitimate beef, we have a right to say, hey, look, you know, I understand that I've upset you or hurt you in some way, and I want to hear what you have to say, but I really need you to approach me in a different way. I think you're implying this, Carol, but I would just go one step beyond what you said. I would not only encourage people to not let disrespect affect them in the way that they take it personally, I would also go that extra step of saying you have a right to gently challenge that other person and say, look, I want to hear whatever it is that you have to say to me, and if I hurt you in any way, I want to talk through that. But I'd really appreciate it if you could change your tone, or if we could talk about this in a more respectful way, because I'm having a hard time hearing you when you're confronting me the way you are. And by doing that, you know, not only I'm not just standing up for myself, I'm standing up for them, because it's when we are disrespectful to others, we're degrading ourselves. Right? When other people are disrespectful to us, they're degrading themselves. We deserve to be treated better, sure, but they owe themselves better.
They owe themselves better, and they owe us loving them enough to say, hey, you know, I think you're better than this. I want to lift you up out of this reaction that you're in, and really work this out between us in a respectful way. It's not just taking care of ourselves, but it's also saying, I want to call you out of where you're in. This is not a healthy place for you, and it's not a healthy place for me, and I love you enough to work this out.
So, Carol, thank you so much for the call. Great comment to kick this show off on the show on respect. All about. Thank you so much for your call. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about disrespect and those people who are disrespectful to you, those situations in which you feel disrespected. Give us a call and talk through this. Is there somebody in your life that you feel ignores you, disregards you, is hostile to you, makes you feel diminished in some way? You know, even if you feel like maybe you did do something wrong, but you don't have a right to be treated poorly. We have a right to be given the respect we deserve, even when we do something wrong. So let's talk about how to command respect gracefully. You know, not in a way that's rude, not in a way that returns offense for offense or insult for insult, but in a way that allows us to stand up for our dignity, as well as the other person's dignity, and bring peace and communion out of the conflict. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN and Global Catholic Radio Network, and we'll be back with more of your calls right after the break.
Who's the head of your home and family? Is it Jesus Christ? Call the Men of Sacred Hearts to show you how to place Jesus as the head of your family and show you how to use the Holy Rosary to learn what is on your child's heart that they're not telling you. Watch one mom's testimonial on our webpage, menofthesacredhearts.org, and call us to set up your appointment today, 586-264-8550. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OEXUSA.com.
The Archbishop of Detroit, Alan Vigneron, published a little booklet called The Beauty of Truth, and it deals with this very question of words and the use of words. And it's a great sorrow, the Archbishop points out, when the quantity of words being expressed is at an all-time high, and the consequences of ill-used words are causing more harm to the cause of truth and the good of the human soul than maybe ever before. Are we part, as I say, are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? Are we constantly carping about society, church, media, police? Because if so, we're gonna have to go out of our way to demonstrate this kind of patience with one another, to let people think through things rather than, you know, immediately slam them with, I've got the answer for you, buddy. Words matter.
Cresta in the Afternoon. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled R-E-S-P-E-C-T, and we are finding out what respect means to you. Today on More to Life, if you are dealing with a disrespectful person in your life, someone who makes you feel ignored, disregarded, diminished in some way, whether that's your spouse, your kids, a family member, or a friend, boss, co-worker, whoever it is, and whatever's happening, let us help you gracefully command the respect you truly do deserve as a son or daughter of God. The number, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Dan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Hi, Dan. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, hi. I've always had a difficult relationship with my son. He lives with us, a wife and everything.
And it says you told her his career, he's 23?
He's 23 now, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he just got done with college, and so he lived with us till he gets a proper job. I found out over holiday break and talked to my daughter that my wife would disparage me to my kids when they were younger. My daughter has her own difficulties and is in therapy, and what's one of the things she's brought up to me. She asked me not to tell my ask, you know, mention this to my wife, but
why is that?
I think she wants to tell her herself. She's just trying to get up the courage to do it.
So, Dan, tell me a little bit. Tell me, how do you feel about your relationship with your wife?
I thought it was mostly good. She does have a tendency, I think, to just blow off steam by talking about me to anybody, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But to my kids, it's been difficult.
And you say your son is disrespectful to you then as well, even though he's living with you?
Oh yeah. I've asked him about it. I've asked him if he wanted to go into therapy, if he wanted to have a better relationship. He just said no.
All right. So maybe could you? I mean, and what is he just generically disrespectful to you, or is it around a specific issue?
Generically, just overall
disrespectful.
Not
to the same degree.
Okay. And have you and your wife spoken about how you want to deal with this with your son?
No, we have not.
Okay. So I think that, you know, you're kind of pointing to the fact that you're a family that really doesn't talk about stuff. You know, your wife doesn't confront you directly about things. She mutters about you behind your back to your kids. You know, your daughter won't tell her mom that she's upset with her mom for disparaging you, but she'll tell you. You got a son who kind of is passive-aggressive and is disrespectful to both you and your wife instead of being willing to confront those issues directly. And, you know, you got all these problems going on, and you and your wife haven't talked about how to handle any of them together. You guys don't talk to each other. You know, so when you say that you have a good relationship, what I think you mean by that is that you don't have a lot of conflict in your relationship. But it's not because there aren't problems, it's because you don't deal with them. Right? And that sort of sets up this dynamic where you don't have clear, healthy ways to confront each other about stuff that you're upset about and don't have the confidence that you can work through it together. So you just blow off steam on your own or to other people instead of dealing with things directly. You know, your son's disrespect is obviously not appropriate. It's not okay. But I think it's a fruit of being in a household where you guys don't know how to talk to each other directly about things. And so he's taking a, I would say passive-aggressive, but it's actively aggressive approach to saying, I'm upset about things and I don't know how to deal with them with you. And when you go to him and you say, you know, hey, do you want to do therapy? What 23-year-old wants to be in therapy? As a parent, and he's dependent on you, you know, at this point, I think you have a right to just step up and say, look, we're doing this. You know, it's time for us to learn how to deal with each other better than we have been. So I don't care whether you want to go or not. You're depending on me. You're living here. We need to figure out how to get along better. I've made an appointment. We're all going.
And you're my son. Even if you weren't living here, I don't like the way we relate to each other, and I want to heal that and have an adult friendship with you. And I think there's just some stuff that we need to clear out of here before you move out at some point and we put too much distance between us, because I want us to be friends. I want us to have a good relationship in life.
So Dan, I think you have a good read on the situation, but I'm empowering you as the head of your household to kind of make an executive decision that you all need some help. And I'd encourage you to reach out to either a good family therapist in your area or contact us through CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about a telehealth practice. But one way or the other, it's time. You know, you guys have been dealing with this for a very long time. It's time to learn how to deal with conflict in a direct, honest, forthright, and respectful way. Thanks for the call. We'll be back with your calls right after this.
You are invited to attend Right to Life, Lifespan's second annual Motor City Caravan for Life on Saturday, January 22nd. The caravan will start at 11:30 a.m. at the National Shrine of Little Flower Grade School parking lot in Royal Oak. Travel down Woodward and end at Assumption Grotto Church for a wreath laying. Everyone will remain in their cars, obeying all traffic laws. Call 248-816-1546 for details. That's 248-816-1546.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak.
One of the best things you can do for your marriage is to learn your spouse's love style, the style that your spouse likes to give and receive love in. People with a visual love style need to see that you love them. Tangible tokens of affection, such as flowers and gifts, mean the world to them because they can see the thought you put into them. People with an auditory love style love to feel through their ears. They love to have long conversations, hearing I love you and hearing praises. Finally, people with a kinesthetic or touch-oriented love style need to feel how much you love them through affection and acts of service. Just being there is very important to this type of person. Which love style best fits you? Which best fits your spouse? Today, take the time to think of how your spouse will best receive love from you, and then act on that. For more on maintaining a happy, healthy, lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about respect, or more specifically, disrespect, and the disrespectful people in our lives. If you feel disregarded, ignored, diminished, demeaned in some way by someone you care about, or at least someone you have to deal with, or if someone's accused you of being disrespectful to them, and you're not sure why or what to do about it, we are here for you today at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Hillary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Hillary. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. So I have a situation with my younger brother, who's 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very complicated issue. I actually, just full disclosure, I actually do discuss it in therapy, and I actually use your guys' office, and I rave about you guys to everybody. It's been life-changing for my husband and I.
Bless you. Thank you so much for that.
You're very kind.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you guys. But the kind of like with the topic being disrespect today, a big problem is my younger brother is disrespectful to everybody in my family, extremely so to my parents, who support him a lot. And again, it's a complicated situation. There's a lot of other factors, but with the disrespect side, it's difficult to know how to deal with it. And I think the biggest part is my dad kind of enables it. So I struggle to kind of explain to my dad maybe how to command respect from my brother a little more, because my dad is very close with him, and he kind of enables it, so then it allows my brother to just kind of run over and disrespect everybody in the family. And it affects
how does it affect you, Hillary? Because I think, you know, it's always challenging to try to help somebody else deal with a third person. But if we can kind of work it out on our own relationship, that's usually a little more effective. I'm happy to address the first question, but I'm just curious. How does this affect you directly?
Well, it's a complicated situation. So, there's mental health stuff involved. He's had past issues with drugs and alcohol. So there's been a lot of times in the past it's affected me more, just with trying to help with the situation and not knowing how. But over the years, and then now being in therapy, understanding that side a little better,
mm-hmm.
is kind of easier to deal with. It doesn't affect me as much. So
your brother isn't being so disrespectful to you so much, or it's not bothering you directly as much. It's more that you're watching the drama between your dad especially and your brother, and you're wanting to be helpful and you're not sure how. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, I think that's more so, yeah, probably.
Okay, and have you talked with your dad at all about it so far, and what have you said and how has he responded to that?
I think a lot of people in our family have tried to talk to him over the years. Just one example is, my brother will call him up. My dad will go on a much-needed vacation. My brother will call him up, 20 times in a row, screaming at him to help him do his homework, stuff like that. And he'll call him at 3 a.m. He doesn't set any boundaries. So I've kind of talked to him about the importance of setting some boundaries and not having such a codependent relationship.
And what does your dad say about all that?
He just kind of ignores everybody, and I guess now it's affecting me a little bit. I guess to answer your previous question, my parents are divorced, and Both parents are remarried, and my dad's current wife has kind of mentioned some things to me before. So I guess it's, you know, I know that it's been a problem between the two of them, but it's getting kind of worse and to the point that she's getting really fed up. And I kind of understand it when you hear some of the details of what goes on.
So here's the thing, Hillary, I get the impression, you know, in families where there is chemical abuse by a family member, there are sort of different roles that family members play, and it sounds like you've been cast in the role as the family fixer. You know, it's somewhere along the line you kind of learned it was your job to kind of come up behind everybody and clean up their messes. And that's, you know, on the face of it, that's a very admirable thing. You care about other people. You're very compassionate. You want to try to do something, whatever you can, to ease their burden. That's a beautiful thing. You have a beautiful heart. On the downside, it can cause us to take responsibility for things that we have absolutely no control over. And it ends up making us crazy. Because, you know, there's nothing you can do other than invite your dad to have a healthier relationship with your brother. There's nothing you can directly do to impact that. You can model, you know, healthy behavior, for example, by setting appropriate boundaries with your brother and, you know, developing a healthy relationship there and letting people in your family see that, oh, hey, you know, Hillary seems to be able to manage so-and-so pretty well. Maybe we should follow her example. But you can't necessarily directly influence them. You know, when your father's wife, you know, calls you up to complain about your dad, you know, that puts you in the middle again, and it has her even casting you as the family fixer. This is really unfair. I mean, if she's got problems with her husband, she could talk to a marriage therapist together, right? You know, you're taking responsibility for
your... You're the sage, wise woman in the whole family, and everybody keeps dumping it all on you and toxifying your life.
And you're taking responsibility for healing your stuff by being in counseling and really doing the hard work there. I think the best thing you can honestly do to everybody... for everybody in your family is say, look, guys, you know, I love you all, but I'm not a therapist, and you need to get one. I'm dealing with my stuff in counseling. You guys need to all deal with your stuff. And you know, provide them the names and numbers of a good counselor that you'd like for them to work with. When your dad's wife calls you up and complains about him, you can be empathetic and say, I am so sorry you're going through that. I agree with you. That's really unjust that you're having to deal with that, and I wish that my dad wasn't so codependent with my brother. But I can't help you with that. Here's a number of a good marriage counselor you guys need to talk to. You know, when your dad complains to you, or when you see really horrible things happening between your dad and your brother, you know, I think you can go to him and say, you know, Dad, this is, I know that you know, love your son, and maybe even feel guilty about some things, but the way you're quote unquote helping him is making things infinitely worse, and I really wish you would get some good help. Here's a number of a good counselor. And then you get out of it.
Yeah, because what you need right now to change this situation at all for the family and to make yourself healthy is to remove yourself from that role as family fixer. Because first of all, it's going to give you the space, the breathing space, to do the work that you're doing in therapy and really clear the decks for yourself and say, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to heal these old wounds. But the other wonderful part is when you remove yourself from that family fixer role, the family has to adjust. You're going to throw off the balance enough that, you know, if think about it. When you start to lose your balance, what do? If your, you know, left foot has lost balance and you know you're going over, your hands will step in and grab hold of something to stop you from falling. Well, you're going to leave them space where they're going to have to begin to look at a way to adjust, because they're going to need something to replace that family fixer that you have been. You're not leaving the relationship entirely. You're leaving the role.
Well, and at first you might feel guilty doing that because it's been your job for so long to be the family fixer. But let me give you a slightly less attractive metaphor to you know. You know how if you have a stomach upset, you know, and you're just feeling really queasy and you're feeling nauseous and you just don't feel good, and then again, I apologize, it's not very pretty, but you vomit, right? And then all of a sudden you feel so much better. Well, what's happening, okay, is that you are the person in your family that everybody vomits their emotional stuff on. And then they feel better. And because they end up feeling better, they don't have to get help. So, you know, as long as you're in that role of quote-unquote family fixer, you know, the person that everybody gets to emotionally vomit on, they don't feel bad enough to actually go to the doctor.
Right.
Right? And then you end up having to clean up their yuck all the time. I would like you to be able to step out of that role for your health and for theirs.
Well, and let's push this horrible metaphor just a little bit longer. When you're the one cleaning up that yuck, if that yuck is there because somebody's sick, there's a greater chance that you're going to get sick yourself. And I think you're doing such a marvelous job, Hillary, at seeing what's wrong and knowing that you don't want to be the one that's sick, that you're not going to buy into this sickness that's going on in the family, and in fact you want to make them well. So the less you're cleaning up that yuck, the less likely you are to fall into unhealthy patterns that will actually toxify your life. So it's a win-win. It's great for you, and it's really a way to make some kind of change happen for them, if it's at all possible.
It's an invitation to them. You know, St. John Paul, and it, of course, is a show that reflects a lot on St. John Paul's teachings, his theology of the body. One of the things he was famous for saying was, always propose, never impose. In other words, you can invite people to experience conversion. You can invite people to a healthier life. You can invite people to do the healthy or right or good thing. But you can't make them do it. And you have to understand the difference. You know, your initial question was kind of, how can I make my dad get this? And you really can't. Which is very frustrating for somebody who's been cast in that role as family fixer. But you can invite, and you can propose, you can suggest resources, you just can't make them use it. So you focusing on being the healthiest person you can be is really a tremendous witness, because you're showing the family how to be healthy. And then you saying to the family, look, I can't fix this, I'm not going to try anymore, but here are people who can. And give them the numbers of those good therapists you're working with so that they can reach out for themselves. I hope that helps you kind of clarify what you can control, what you can't, and I hope that you will continue to pray that God will give you the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you so much, Hillary, for the call. Thank you so much for the plug. I'm glad that we're that our team is helping you out, and we really appreciate you tuning in. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about disrespect on our show titled RESPECT. If you are tired of dealing with disrespectful people or a particularly disrespectful situation, we are here for you. The number to call, 877-573-7825. And as we head out, our scripture of the day is from Romans 12:10.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
You know, an important reminder on this show today, again, you know, honor is kind of another way of talking about respect, that as Christians, we're called to love one another, but also to truly honor and respect each other. Which, again, brings up my earlier point that even when we've done something wrong, or when someone else has done something wrong, that person has a right to be treated with respect. We can go to them and say, look, you hurt my feelings. I'm sure that you didn't mean it. I'm sure you didn't, you know what you were doing or didn't see it that way. But let's work through this together, as opposed to, you're such a jerk, I can't believe it, and, you know, kind of ranting and raving about it. We deserve to be treated with that respect. They deserve to be treated with that respect. We need to, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, outdo one another in showing that honor, in good times and in bad, and everywhere in between. If you are struggling with that concept of getting the respect you deserve, or giving the respect that others deserve from you, let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John wants to help us discover the reasons to believe. Faith is not a simple 1 plus 1 equals 2 type of scenario in our brain. Faith is rational, contemplative. It requires a level of deeper thought to help make sense of what our Lord reveals himself to be. So join us this week as Father John leads us in an exercise of critical thinking about our faith, as well as a look later in the week at virtues and vices. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today our show is titled R-E-S-P-E-C-T, as we find out what respect means to you in dealing with the disrespectful people in your life. If you've got someone who is running you down, making you feel diminished or disregarded, let's talk it out and find graceful ways to respond.
Let's talk now with Mike, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Hi. Thank you. Yes, I wanted to just get some advice, just some quick background. I'm 72 years old and the father of 10 children. I've got 25 grandkids. And about 5 years ago, I established a hunting club. I got a lease from a client, something I've always wanted to do, and I think it's a great involvement for my family, particularly with my seven sons. And during the course of trying to get this club up and going and get, you know, members and all, I was having constant disagreements with my 42-year-old son on how to run the hunting club and the different things to, you know, to do. He just constantly disagreeing with me and not cooperating, you know, with me. And the end result was, 3 years ago, after about 2 years of it, he quit and left the hunting club. And the end result was he got stuck with a tractor payment that he felt that the hunting club should pay for, and so he wound up having to take that on. Well, over the last 3 years, every time he's over at the house visiting, he's constantly, in one way or another, berating me about this issue, how the hunting club was now functioning. But I've got another son who's basically running it with me, and the bitterness that's there has just been very, very clear. And just before Christmas, he came by and started making some additional comments, and this is about the 30th time that he's done this, and I just bluffed it off in the past. But I had a belly full, and I blew up, and I laid into him about the, you know, the disrespect that he is showing, you know, to me. Mm-hmm. and the way he has responded and handled this. And so I said something to him that I regretted about him and his and one of his brothers, that if they would just stop being blank, then things might be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But he then responded with some very, very berating comments to me, and I later sent him a text message where I suggested that he read some verses out of Sirach that deal with you know, respect for your parents, respect to a father, you know, atone for many sins, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he didn't like that, and I got a text message back that was just a scathing commentary and rebuke to me. Mm-hmm. It was just the things that he said about me were terrible. So I, for Christmas, I felt that I wanted to apologize and heal things over. And so I sent him a message and I apologized for what I said to him. And I was hoping I would get an apology back from him. Now he has come over and he sends me a text message and tells me that it, you know, he'll say, you know, Dad, I love you and all. But he's never looked at me or written me a note and said, Dad, I apologize for what I said in that text message to you. And it still bothers me that he hasn't done that. And so I'm just curious, you know, what is the best way to deal with it and to respond?
Yeah, you know, I have some have you told him kind of what you need from him? Like, have you ever just kind of sat down with him directly and said, look, you know, I'm glad that you're, you know, coming around. I'm glad that we seem to be in a better place. But I'm still really kind of hurting from some of the things you said. I mean, how you know, have you ever just sort of kind of confronted that directly?
No, I have not done that yet.
So I think that would be a next step. So I have two suggestions for you. That's the first one. The first one is just kind of going to him directly and being clear about what you need. You know, I was hurt by somebody that I care about recently, and I realized that, you know, they interpreted something I did the wrong way. And so even though I didn't mean to offend them, I did apologize to them, and they didn't apologize to me. And so I kind of had to go back to them and say, look, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean anything, but I'm sure you just felt like you were reacting to something that you thought I did. But honestly, you know, what you did was really hurtful, and I kind of need to know that you see that, because I don't want to go here again with you, and I think of you as a friend, and I'd really rather not have to worry about this kind of thing happening again in the future, and I really need to understand that you get that. And by going to him and telling him about that, you know, he was able to apologize, and we were able to kind of work through how to handle similar situations better if they were to come up again. So that's part two of my suggestion to you. Besides going to him and telling him what you need, I think that, you know, what your son's behavior is saying to me is that he doesn't feel like he's got a good way to be heard, you know, in the relationship.
Plus the tantrums.
Yeah, I mean, that may not be true. I mean, you sound like a sensitive, thoughtful guy who and I'm sure that you want to hear what your kids have to say. But you know, for whatever reason, he doesn't feel like he's got a way to be heard or taken seriously by you. So he reacts by being, you know, by being pouty, by being disrespectful, by kind of muttering under his breath about you and bringing the thing up over and over and over again as a way of trying to get you to hear that he's still upset about this and would like to talk through it and find some solutions. So I think that in addition to going to him and saying, look, you know, I'm still smarting from the texts and I'd really like to know that you're sorry for that, I would also in the same breath say, but I think I understand that you don't really feel heard by me, or that you don't really feel like I'm willing to listen to you. And that's not true, but I get if you feel that way. And I think that that's probably why you've, you know, been the way you were with me. I'd like to go beyond just apologizing to each other for the things that we said and really talk about ways that we could do a better job of listening to each other and making each other feel heard.
And that's really the key here, because A, you're letting him know you want to hear him, but B, you're saying, I don't want to keep up this pattern. I want to talk about how we can do this differently in the future so we can heal the relationship now and have a better one going forward because we have new ways of dealing with it. That's not only going to be very successful if he'll allow that to happen, but it'll also let him know that you're serious about it and you're not just saying, you know, oh, like, I think what he took away from the scripture you sent him is, I'm your father, I deserve your respect, end of story, which is true, but he's a grown man and he's saying, no, I want a mutually respectful relationship with you. This is a way to show him that you want that, but it's also a way to go move ahead and actually get that for both of you.
As a preparation for that conversation with your son, I'm going to encourage you actually to pick up a copy of our latest book. It's titled Having Meaningful sometimes difficult, conversations with your adult sons and daughters. We just had it come out through Word Among Us Press right before the holidays, and it's specifically about the question you're asking today. You know, how do we address these difficult topics with our adult kids and actually have them heard? You know, when our kids are littler, we can make them stand there and listen to us. You know, we can say, you know, until you're ready to deal with this, you can't come out of your room. But when you got a 40-year-old, that's a different story. They can just avoid us. They can just say, well, I'm too busy, Dad. I'd love to come around, but, you know, so we have to take a different approach. And having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with your adult sons and daughters gives parents of adult kids a way to break through the resistance, to open up those lines of communication, and to really build a communion where there was conflict. And so we'll build on these themes that we've shared with you today on the show in that book, and I think it would be really helpful for you to get to that different place you want to be, not just with this son, but it sounds like the other son that's sort of in the same boat. So check it out. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And again, the title is Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. And listeners, if you are looking for more resources for commanding respect or giving the respect that other people need from you, check out the many resources we have available for you at CatholicCounselors.com, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, again, at CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.